Wesley Ward does a lot of things well, but he has one specialty that stands above the rest, his ability to win at the Royal Ascot meet. No American-based trainer has come close to what he has done over there, which is to win seven races at what is one of the most prestigious race meets in the world. Ward, who will send a large contingent to England for this year's meet, is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Over the past four decades, TaylorMade has risen from a small boarding operation to the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer.
TaylorMade sales follow many horses that are training at the racetrack. And they are particularly adept at evaluating mares and placing them with a proper stallion after their racing careers are over. They are very straightforward and are also experts on confirmation of younger weanlings and yearlings.
My name is Tia Andrini, and I am from San Mateo, California. I've been doing business with TaylorMade for about a year now, and it's been one great experience after another. It started with my first TaylorMade venture when I bought an interest in the filly Catherine Sophia, which ultimately landed me 3 weeks later in the middle of the winner's circle of the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with her. The TaylorMade team is a group of truly outstanding individuals. They are knowledgeable, professional, and completely customer service driven. To me, the TaylorMade name epitomizes the term trusted advisor. That is exactly what they are, and I am very proud to be associated and doing business with them.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Well, the Wesley Ward Ascot story begins in 2009 when Ward took a horse that had broken his maiden in a $30,000 claimer at Churchill and shocked Royal Ascot by winning the Windsor Castle Stakes at 33-1. It was the first win at Royal Ascot by an American-based trainer, and of course, Ward's first win there as well. 8 years later, Royal Ascot has become one of the focuses of the Ward operation. This is Bill Finley with this week's TDN podcast, and we welcome our guest, Wesley Ward. And Wesley, how did this all get started for you? You know, really no American trainers were focused on Royal Ascot at all. And then not only did you go over there in 2009, but you won with your very first starter there.
I tell you, I've had some early success over the years with these two-year-olds, and really had nowhere to run. So I kind of was looking at Royal Ascot, sort of trying to find a place where I could run against winners and where I may have an advantage. And I figured I'd give it a try. Now looking back at it all, I really got lucky because over there, when we have the fast ground, it's an advantage to the American pedigrees and the faster two-year-olds. Over there, they kind of give their horses time. And even though they're out running early, they don't really push them too hard, and they don't really come out running. They kind of go really slow early and then try to teach them to come late, where it's completely different over here in the States. And then looking at that, I thought I'd give it one try, and it all worked out.
Well, it certainly did. And at the time, you know, this is now going back several years, and this was hardly the biggest race you've won over there. But when Strike the Tiger won this race, did you really appreciate it at that moment what a great accomplishment this was? It really was historic.
You know, I'll tell you, on the first day I was there, I ran Cannonball earlier on the card,
okay.
King Stan. And it was the first time I was ever at Royal Ascot, and you really feel the magnitude of racing there when you get there. And he ended up coming from last. Johnny Velasquez went and rode for me, and he came running the last little bit. And, you know, he was fifth or sixth in the race that day, and I thought, uh-oh, what did I do? You know, I brought a whole bunch of these two-year-olds over, and you know, looking at this opulent place, and you know, everybody's dressed to the nines there, and you just I kind of thought that I was kind of in the deep end of the pool, and I was gonna be in big trouble. And later on, which was the last race, the Windsor Castle, as the horses are walking around the parade ring, and they come out kind of earlier, a lot earlier than ours do, so that the public can get a good view of the horses. I was looking at my competition and sort of looking at it like they were in a sales ring, waiting on Johnny to come out for the last race. And my horse was I bred him, but he was a very typey horse, and he went on to be a stakes winner after that here in the States, even competed at the graded level. But in watching him walking around the paddock, I was looking at him. He's a big, beautiful black colt, and I was looking at his competition, and, you know, completely different the English horses or the European horses are than the American horses. And I, when Johnny eventually came out, I told him, I said, "Hey, Johnny," I said, "you know, I said, if these were all selling today," and I was looking at 28 runners, I said, "my horse is the one I'd buy." I said, as opposed to all of the competition that's walking around, I said, "look at him. He's a beautiful, big, beautiful colt. And if you look at, you could tell that they were going to develop and get bigger and stronger later on, but just not right then that day." And he just broke right to the front, and away he went. And I seen Johnny in the winner's circle, and I was just elated. I really didn't understand what I'd done at the time because, you know, you run and you win a race. But it took a lot of pressure off me for the next day where Jealous Again won, because I knew it could be done at least.
Right. Now, you brought up an interesting point about how, you know, the Europeans aren't as quick to develop their two-year-olds. They give them a little bit more time, and that's something that you are so good at, getting horses to strike early. But another advantage I think that you probably have is the style of American racing, where, especially in sprints, our horses are go, go, go right from the start, where even in five-furlong races, the English jockeys or the European jockeys may not be that aggressive. How about the fact that, you know, your horses are just have that acceleration early that maybe the European horses don't have? How much of an advantage is that?
That's a big advantage, and it's a big advantage when you get fast ground. You know, I've also learned that, you know, if it rains over there and the track gets deep, you might as well scratch and go home, because which I've done several years back. I had Judy the Beauty over there, and it just raining so bad hard that day that I just scratched her and the rest of the horses I brought over and brought them home, because their horses have been bred for hundreds and hundreds of years for that sort of conditions. And they can run as fast on the boggy, wet condition as they can in firm ground. Mm-hmm. Certain horses there, where ours, just they can't get a hold of it and they'll get beat an eighth of a mile. So, but when it's fast and firm, just like you said, it's a big advantage to the American horses and also to the American riders. You know, they're used to breaking out of there and sitting and going. You know, I do use Frankie Dettori a lot now because, you know, he's been everywhere and he can adapt and he understands American racing and horses and all that. And he's one of the greatest there ever was. So, but, you know, for the most part, I was bringing American riders over there for, mm-hmm. for the first few years.
Mm-hmm. So, if anybody thought you were just lucky with the first win, you proved the next day that this is not luck. As you already mentioned, you win the Queen Mary Stakes with Jealous Again. Now, that's a Group 2, a much more prestigious race than the first one you won, the Windsor Castle with Strike the Tiger. So 2 days, two wins at Royal Ascot. You must have just been over the moon.
Yeah, I really was. It was unbelievable. It really was, and everyone over there is so gracious, and they've gone out of their way to come and congratulate me. And, you know, I mean, now looking, you know, especially with what Teppan did last year, it kind of really opened the door to where, you know, the Americans are coming over. They're bringing their best horses over. You know, Todd's, you know, he's trying to win. Mark Cassie's already won. You're getting all the bigger trainers and bigger owners that are sending horses to go over to run and compete over there. And, you know, hopefully it just continues to where that, you know, everybody else that goes over has a lot of success.
And Wesley, I was going to say that question for later, but I'll ask you now. When you see a Teppan win over there, even though that's not your own horse, do you take some sense of satisfaction or pride in that? Whereas if you didn't do this, you obviously created a trend, you opened a door and showed the rest of North America that this is very possible. Do you take a sense of satisfaction from seeing one of your North American peers winning a big race like Teppan did last year?
I really do, you know, and it really made it a worldwide horse racing event that because, you know, now that everybody's going over there or wanting to go and winning, and it just made, you know, Ascot, that's what it was lacking. Royal Ascot was lacking the Americans coming and competing. You know, it was thought, you know, as for, you know, 50, 60 years, they've been coming over here and winning all the big races on the grass. So why would you want to go over there and take them on? Well, now we know it can be done. And so it just makes it so special.
The green sleeve, then Wongina, down towards the final furlong of the Diamond Jubilee, and it's Brazen Moe for Australia on the near side. Here goes Frankie on Undrafted on the far side for Astero Music Master. Undrafted, Brazen Moe towards the near side, try to peg him back. Undrafted wins the Diamond Jubilee under Frankie.
Now, we just played the Diamond Jubilee Stakes in 2015, and I want to play that race for two reasons. First of all, it's a Group 1, so it doesn't get any better than that. And secondly, Wesley, if people were ever to say that, well, this guy is a one-trick pony, he's only coming over and winning with two-year-olds, well, they're undrafted, what was six, 5 years old at the time, I don't remember. But because of those two things that I've just mentioned, is among your Ascot wins, is that one of the most special or the most special?
It's the most special win I've ever had in my life.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I mean, I've won a couple of Breeders' Cups, but nothing's better than that, than winning the Diamond Jubilee with the Queen of England, presenting you the trophy, having my children there with me to enjoy the moment. It's, you know, it's a lifelong, you know, if you look at when my children are, you know, sitting down at home and they're getting ready to do their homework, they open up their laptop and the screen page is them, you know, up there with the Queen of England. That's what they have saved on their home screen of their computers. I mean, it's that much special. It's that special for them as well.
Interesting. And now, Frankie Dettori rode that horse, and you talked about using Frankie. You've used a lot of different jockeys, sometimes Americans, sometimes Frankie. How do you pick and choose so far as whether you use a European rider or whether you use an American rider?
I try to align. You know, I was trying to, the first few years, like Victor won a Kentucky Derby, and I brought him over, and he won on Hoot Nanny for me, and he rode that week for me, and Johnny's came, and Rosario won the Derby, and I try to use, you know, I'm friends with most of the bigger name riders here, and so whoever wins the Derby, I try to bring them over, and this way the English, you know, the fans or the European fans can sort of get a feel of those guys, you know. But that race that you just played with Frankie Dettori was undoubtedly the greatest ride I've ever had in my life. Without him on the horse, I don't win. He rode to perfection, and it's just so special. And last year, now we've developed a very close friendship, Frankie and I. I had Lady Aurelia over there last year. I wasn't able to stay from when she won the Morning in France to her next race. And he was my assistant trainer.
Hmm.
They're getting on her every single day, reporting back to me before he got on her what he was planning on doing. After during the gallop, he'd video himself. He'd send me a video after she was cooling out. I mean, he's just a fantastic guy. And so, and you know, you couldn't have a better rider there. He's won 50 Grade One races at Royal Ascot, 50 races at Royal Ascot. So. You know, what are you going to do?
There'll be a lot more with Wesley Ward, but as we touch base with him on his past and future conquests at Royal Ascot. But first, this message from our sponsor, our friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million, Hunter? Ready to get out of the mat? Away now, it's in. 10-10, you want to get out of the mat? Ready to get 10? Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. all have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havre de Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Lady Aurelia still travelling in hand here by a couple of lengths to Baroche, and Lady Aurelia begins to open up and she's gone away from them in the style of an absolute flying machine. Lady Aurelia is going to destroy the field in the Queen Mary. A sensational performance. 8 or 10 lengths clear of El Juro. What a win. Lady Aurelia has blitzed them, has torn them apart.
Lady Aurelia winning the 2016 Queen Mary, and just a devastating performance, as the race commentator let you know. She won by 7 lengths. Wesley, this is one of the most interestingly campaigned horses I can remember. She's 3 years old. She's only run 5 lifetime starts, but you've had her in England. You won the Prix Mornay, a Grade 1, a Group 1 in France. You brought her back this year. How and why have you plotted out the campaign with her that you have? You've accomplished a great deal with a few starts, but I guess one of the questions is, why haven't you run her more often?
Well, you know, the plan was from the start when I got the filly to do what she did, to run in the Queen Mary. And from that race, I decided to go to France. I'd won that race before as well with No Name Ever, so I knew it could be done. And second with Hootenanny. The very precocious 2-year-olds that are grass horses, they run very, very well for me in France. Whoever runs big in Ascot, those are the horses now that I point to go to the Mornay in France. It's a Group 1. We have no Group 1s here on the grass until later the fall of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's only the Breeders' Cup that's a Group 1. So that's the reason why we did that. And then, as I said before, with Frankie getting on the filly, we moved up and I tried to go to Newmarket and go in the Cheveley Park. Unfortunately, she bled in the race. So we just wanted to give her a bunch of time, send her back to Barbara Vankey's Stone Street Farm here in Kentucky, give her a few months off, you know, let her lungs completely heal up, send her down to Barbara's farm in Ocala, where Ian Brennan kind of got her ready, got her going, and he sent her up early to me. And the plan was to come back in the Giant's Causeway. I kept bringing her to Turfway once a week in Breezenburg until the grass opened here at Keeneland. We had a couple of nice works, and she just had a beautiful comeback race. So.
Yeah, that was in the Giant's Causeway. Now, I've seen you quoted that you think that she, of all your horses, has the best chance of winning this year. I've also seen a bunch of different races mentioned, so it's still a long ways out. But is it the King's Stand Stakes that you're now looking at with her?
It is. It is. It's against the older horses, and she's just a 3-year-old filly. We get a weight concession, but still in all, it'll be tough to do for a 3-year-old filly. She is the favorite right now in the race, which is always, you know at least you're in the right spot. And we know that she likes the course itself. So, you know, and that's been the plan. She's doing great. You know, fingers crossed.
And isn't the race also against males as well? So you have that as a disadvantage?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm not a real big proponent of, you know, if you look over there, they run the fillies against the colts all the time. And if you have a fast filly, why not? You know, I mean, to me, I beat them with 2-year-olds all the time. I run the fillies against the colts early in the year, and you get a weight break. And a lot of my fillies that I think are going to win do, you know, against the boys.
Lady Aurelia out to the center of the course from fifth. She's winding up down the far outside to come after Ruby Notion. Triple Chelsea needs room at the rail. Lady Aurelia's moving on for the lead. Final furlong at the Giants Causeway. Lady Aurelia by a length to Ruby Notion. Triple Chelsea, then nobody's fault. Layoff, no problem, no issues here. Lady Aurelia back in style to win the Giants Causeway.
Wesley, you already talked about this race, but I wanted to play the stretch call. So far as preps go, was that perfect? I mean, she did everything right. She probably didn't take a lot out of her. You must have been just, if you couldn't have written it, if you wrote it up yourself, it couldn't have gone any better.
Well, Julio Garcia, I give a lot of credit to him. He works for me every day. He rides for me. He rode her and when she broke her maiden here at Keeneland. And he's been on her every day, and he gets her to settle, gets her to behind horses. And that was the plan going into the race, is I wanted to be able to take her back. And, you know, I showed Johnny Velasquez a few of the works that Julio did, and that's the first thing he said. He came back and told me. He said, was that as good as Julio? it was nice, you know, and Julio was in the winner's circle with us, so it was very, very special. And I have to give a lot of credit to Julio in getting this filly to settle back like this.
Okay, so let's just do some homework here. And again, I know things could change because we're still a little ways out. Horses could always get sick or something like that. But we know Lady Aurelia goes in the King's Stand Stakes. Could you please just go over the names of the other horses you're going to run, which races, and who will ride them so far as you know at this point?
Well, on opening day, which is Tuesday the 20th, I've got Lady Aurelia, which you spoke with about. And then there's also the Coventry. And I've got Arawak, who won. Unfortunately, the race came off the grass at Belmont, but he won convincingly. But he, even although he's by Uncle Mo, I've breezed him numerous times in Florida on the grass. And he's better on the grass, way better on the grass than he is with this. So we're going to breeze him here on Monday at Keeneland. And, you know, depending all goes well, we've got him appointed for the Coventry Stakes.
Okay. And how about throughout the rest of the week?
Well, the last race that day is the Windsor Castle. So I've got several winners that I'm looking at that have already won here. I've got a filly named Elizabeth Darcy that won a maiden turf race at Indiana Downs by 7 or 8 lengths. So we're going to breeze her, as well as Nootka Sound, who was a Keeneland winner here by Lonro. And she, as well, is much better on the turf than the dirt. And so we're going to breeze those two together and see which one of the two. They're owned by the same owner, Gatewood Bell's Syndicate, Hat Creek. Mm-hmm. So after the work, we'll decide which one goes.
Okay.
Then the following day, I've got a filly named Happy Like a Fool that Mary Bell Stable owns. And she's a distorted humor filly, and she'll be pointed to the Queen Mary.
Okay.
And we've got in the Norfolk Stakes, that's a race that Noni never won. I've got a really nice colt named McCarron. He's a trap shot, but he as well really, really likes the grass more than the dirt. When I breezed him many, many times on the dirt in Florida, and also as well on the turf and at Palm Meadows, and he was lengths better on the grass. So I'm really, really looking forward to this colt. He's had a couple of really nice breezes here on the turf at Keeneland, and he should be very, very tough in the Norfolk.
Okay.
Which is on Thursday. I've got a 3-year-old filly named Conti Partiro. She was in the 7/8 race at Belmont on Preakness Day, and she came from way, way back and came charging and just got beat half a length in the race, finished fourth. But it was her first race since Frankie rode her against the boys down the hill on Breeders' Cup Day, where she was second. And she also was a stakes winner on the grass at Saratoga at 2. And so we're pointing to the Sandringham, which is 7 furlongs over there for 3-year-old fillies. And that's on Wednesday as well. Then I have a very nice colt that's named Bound for Nowhere. He'll be in Friday. He's undefeated. He won his first start here with Julio Garcia in January. and he came back and he won an allowance race, but it was an explosive one here at Keeneland. And he's been working with Lady Aurelia, and he's just about giving her everything he can do, she can do, to as they're coming down the lane. I mean, I'm very, very confident in him, as well. He's just sort of a very, very a big colt and an improving colt. And, you know, if you watch the replays on the Keeneland website that Lady Aurelia's breezes, he's very, very impressive. He ran an 8 on the Ragazin sheets when he won here, so he's going to be – I think he's going to have a very, really, really big chance. And also the same day, Friday, I've got a very nice filly, Scat Daddy filly, that they paid $375,000 for, Coolmore, named Fairyland. She won the very first maiden two-year-old race here at Keeneland, and she's been breezing on the grass, and she should be really, really tough, I would hope, in the Albany Stakes.
Okay. Okay. We left anybody out?
Well, we got a couple, like, also eligibles that we're going to breeze on the grass here to see how they're doing. People want to may add them to the list of the Windsor Castles right now, but
okay.
Like I say, Monday's my last breeze day, and Monday afternoon will be my final decision as to who's going to go and who, you know, doesn't really
right.
want to go there for the expense of the trip and everything.
Gotcha. And how about the jockey situation? You've got Julio Garcia has ridden many of these horses. You've used Frankie Dettori in the past, John Velasquez, you mentioned. What jockeys have you lined up for which horses, et cetera?
I've got Johnny Velasquez, hopefully for the Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see how the horse breeze is. You know, he just won on the colt, and he's a Coolmore horse, of which they have a retained rider in Ryan Moore. But Aiden will probably have a horse in the race, so that'll open up for Johnny and Frankie. You know, Frankie's we're going to go to the same yard that we were in, the Ingles National Stud. The horses will be there on Tuesday, and Frankie's excited. He's going to get on the horses, and so pretty much Frankie will ride the majority of the horses.
Okay. That's interesting. So now you mentioned a horse earlier that we're now going to hear the stretch call of Happy Like a Fool winning at Keeneland. Listen in.
Port lead off the turn. Paris Cruz to the inside second. Ward goes 1-2. Gap of 5. Back to Roman around third. Tricky Czar now takes third from the far outside. No Show Rose in fifth. Boom Pow Pow still far back. And Happy Like a Fool, the leader at the 16th pole by 2 lengths from Paris Cruz in second. Gap of 5. Tricky Czar third. No Show Rose in fourth. Happy Like a Fool in front. Drawing clear for Julio Garcia. Happy Like a Fool wins it.
And Wesley, the reason why I played that race is, now, you had said that you're not the owner of that horse. I was looking on the past performances, and you're listed as the owner, trainer, and breeder. And I was thinking that that's a pretty special combination. Has that horse since been sold? Bring us up to speed on that.
It to Marybell Stable.
Okay. But nonetheless, a horse that you bred as well to win at Royal Ascot, would that be a little bit more special than, you know, some other victories over the years?
Well, they're all special, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Cherish. But it certainly would be as you know, and when you breed a horse and you take them all the way there, it does make it special.
Okay. We're going to learn more about Wesley Ward, his brilliance with two-year-olds. How does he do it? We'll find out after this message from TaylorMade.
M. Shawish has taken the lead as they come into the final 16th.
The main reason we ended up trying M. Shawish on the dirt is he was just so impressive in the mornings to watch train on the dirt. And, you know, he continually worked exceptionally well, showed us that, you know, he was able not only to finish his work strongly, but then gallop out brilliantly. And you know, we just felt like he had a dirt pedigree as well, being a Medaglia d'Oro out of a Thunder Gulch mare, that it, you know, wouldn't be a surprise if he ran well in the dirt. And certainly he did.
And it is M. Shawish, the winner of the Don Handicap.
And welcome back to this week's TDN podcast with Wesley Ward on his way to Ascot. Wesley, I noticed, unless I missed something, you did not mention Undrafted when I asked you to run down the roster of your Ascot horses. Why would he not be going back?
We had talked about the Wokingham, which is a handicap closing day. It's 175,000 pounds. But Saul Kuhman and Wes Welker got together, and they felt that probably best if he goes in the Jiper here on Belmont Stakes Day. So, you know, I was selfishly wanting to bring him over there. I love that horse so
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the bigger picture, they felt like it would be, maybe take a little bit too much out of him to go over and back, and, you know, might compromise, you know, with how many starts he could have this year, and it's very understandable. So we're going to go Saturday in the Jaipur.
Gotcha. Now, Wesley, as we mentioned earlier, you are really, in your career, you have two specialties. One is Royal Ascot, and the other is your ability to get these two-year-olds to win early on in their careers. I looked at your winning percentage, these 4.5 furlong races at Keeneland. It's something like you 60% or some ungodly number like that. And really, how did this become one of your specialties? How did you become the greatest two-year-old trainer around, especially with two-year-olds early in the season?
It's just something that comes natural to me. I've been doing it since I'm a little boy. Breaking horses when I was 12 and 13 and 14 years old, and just takes a lot of time and effort, and a whole team around me that have been with me for 20 plus years, and, you know, we put a lot of long hard hours in at the farm in Florida down in Miami all afternoon. When we finish training in the morning, everybody kind of congregates to the farm, and we teach the horses to swim every day. They swim every day. They go on the dirt as a warm-up, and they go in the middle of the track in the infield. Is the grass is where we train there. And, you know, it's just a process that I go through. You know, every month it sort of changes, and I change things up with the horses, and they have a lot of knowledge when they come into their first races. And then from their first race, I just try to manage their soundness and keep the horses sound to get over for their next race in Ascot. And some fall off. And, you know, the ones that don't, we've been lucky enough to have, they've run well over there. So, you know, it's just a process of years and years and years of learning how to do it.
Right. And Wesley, with clients like Coolmore behind you now, you do have the ability to go to the sales and spend a lot of money on a horse. But when this whole phenomenon started, most of these horses were $20,000 yearlings, or I don't know if you bought many at two-year-old sales, but you were buying these horses for the proverbial ham sandwich. What is it about your eye that you can find a $25,000 horse at the sales and they can be this fast and this good that maybe other people are overlooking?
Well, when I first started training 27, 8 years ago, and I wanted to make it on the major circuit because that's where I was as a jockey. And so I came down to Southern California. And at that time, you know, in 1990, you had the greatest of the greats there. You had Charlie, you had Laz, you had everybody. Like, you just go on and name all the iconic trainers that have been there forever at every level. I mean, you had Mike Mitchell and the Claimers, and I just couldn't find a niche to fit in. And so I kind of went back to where in the fall of the year, I would buy some very typey looking, very precocious yearlings. And I would do just as I do now. I'd spend all afternoon breaking them to where they were absolutely, when the first race came, and at that time at Santa Anita, they used to run quarter mile races in March and April, mm-hmm. the first race of the day. And mine would just be absolutely ready to run. They'd be very, very inexpensive horses. They'd be, you know, $5,000 yearlings or $8,000 yearling. And when the gates opened, they were gone. And I sort of fell in a niche there to where, you know, you're running for a $40,000, $50,000 maiden special purse with a $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 yearling that was fast, that knew what to do on the day. And I'd realize a big profit. I'd either sell the horses, or the horses would go into the first 40 or 50 claiming that they had at Del Mar. They'd be gone. Somebody mm-hmm. claim them, and I'd double or triple my money. And I just kept it going over the years and sort of learning how to perfect it to where that's sort of what I did when I moved east. Mr. Bobby Franco put me in with Mr. Ramsey. Mr. Ramsey had Titanius at the time, and he was just getting going with Kitten's Joy. And Bobby made the call for me to Mr. Ramsey and called me back. He said, call me, because I told him I was ready to leave California. I had a young family and move east to Florida. And I had a big, long talk for the first time with Mr. Ramsey. And about 2 weeks later came a van load. the big red and white R van came in with a load of babies for Mr. Ramsey, and we've had just a fantastic connection ever since. We've won a lot of races. He's the greatest guy in the world. We have such luck together and such good times, and he's just one. I can't say enough good things about Mr. Ramsey.
Now, I was interested, because I have not had time to go down all the list of the various owners. Do you have a Ken Ramsey horse for Royal Ascot this year? Does Ken and Sarah own any one of these horses?
Unfortunately, Mr. Ramsey has an insatiable desire to win in Ascot, but unfortunately, I do have one, and I sent it up to Presque Isle to run it on Poly Track.
Mm-hmm.
He ran here at Keeneland. His name's Nuclear Option. And he just ran into a buzzsaw of Kenny McPeaks and he led all the way to the top of the stretch. They went the half in 44 and change, and then, you know, the pedigree came out the last eighth of a mile, where mine is an all grass pedigree. And Kenny's just kind of kicked on. But so his second start, I told Mr. Ramsey, I said, look, rather than go, let's forego the big purses that they have in New York. I said, he'll win it. And we'll go up to Presque Isle. There's a 4.5 furlong race on the Poly Track, and let's, you know, hopefully have a nice, easy, cruising, comfortable win, and we can get him back down, and we have him ready for Ascot. And the horse went off 2-5, and they broke, and he was in front, and the further the race went, when they turned for home, the further he got beat. And he came out of the race great, but Mario Pino, the jock that had been on him several times in the morning in Palmetto, said he just didn't like the track at all. Mm-hmm. He couldn't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm sitting with a possible Royal Ascot winner. As I said, I got an also eligible that we're going to breeze on Monday. Mr. Ramsey himself's coming out, and we might sign him up as well for the Windsor Castle, but we'll see what happens.
All right, because we know how much Ken Ramsey wants to win over there. And Wesley, I want to get back to your proclivity to win with these two-year-olds. And, you know, you've done great with this. You made a great argument for the economics of it. And I would imagine over the years, it's put a lot of money into your pocket. But I wonder if it's also somewhat of a mixed blessing. And the reason why I say that, have you been typecast? And guys who are going to the sales that are looking to buy not a horse that's going to win at 4.5 furlongs at Keeneland in April, but going to win the Kentucky Derby, may they look elsewhere than Wesley Ward because of this reputation? Is there a double-edged sword here?
Yeah, there is. And also, you know, I'm taking these horses that we're talking about that are winning in Royal Ascot, Noone Nevers, and, you know, all these horses that I'm taking them back over again to France, where if I was centered in on the Spinaway or centered in on the Hopeful with these type of horses, they're Hopeful type horses. They're Spinaway type horses that are winning when I'm going back over for the second time during the summer. So I'm taking away what I could do here. But would I change it? No. And, you know, at least I'm good at something, and people think I'm good at something. So, you know, hopefully I can take this, as you just said, and move forward to where I can take the success I've had and hopefully gain some confidence in some owners that are going to give me horses that want to go around two turns instead of one.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I won a couple of derbies for Mr. Ramsey. You know, we had a horse named Pleasant Prince that got beat half a thumbnail in the Florida Derby. And had he won that, I don't know how he would have done, but I think he would have done pretty good in the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, it's not that I can't train horses that go long, but when you walk down the shed row and you see the horses that I have and they're all look like bulldogs here, I mean, you're not going to win any derbies with them.
I gotcha. But let's just say for the sake of argument that you get one of these horses to take the next step and they win at Royal Ascot. Now, I know they're grass horses, but, you know, maybe they're the best thing you could hope for would be that they would be versatile enough, and then they win the Champagne, and then they win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the next thing you know, you're in the Florida Derby, and then you've got them in the Kentucky Derby. What would that mean to you, and what might that do for your reputation as a trainer? Is that a dream with these horses, or do you think, you know, they are what they are? They're going to win at Royal Ascot at 5 furlongs.
No, that's not the case. For all of them. You know, I had Judy the Beauty. She won here at Keeneland. I took her to France a month later, and she won in France. And I went to Royal Ascot, and I scratched. And she went on to, you know, win it throughout her career, and ended up running second in the Breeders' Cup, and again a Breeders' Cup winner, and she won a Grade One here at Keeneland. So I mean, it can be done. The horses that are going, it just all depends on the horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Wesley, every time we see you in the winner's circle, you're, as you must be, you look immaculate in your top hat and tails. My colleague Dave Johnson has done that many a times. I got to tell you something. It looks horribly uncomfortable. Is it okay, really, to wear all that stuff?
You know, when you get over there, I don't know if you've been or not, Bill, but
I have not, no.
It feels, you get a different feeling. It's I've had a client of mine that Dave Mowat, he was second in the Albany with his filly, and he came on the day with his daughters, and he looked at me, he says, Wesley, he says, I feel like I'm in a play of My Fair Lady. There's an aura about the place. He said, I feel strange. And, you know, because everybody's there in a top hat and tails, and you feel like you're in a real surreal, just wild place. And you just get used to it, though.
I bet. And Wesley, before we let you go, one last question. A lot can go wrong, and as you mentioned, if the ground is not firm, you will certainly downgrade your optimism level. But this is the largest contingent you've ever sent, sending a lot of good horses. Do you feel this could be your best ever showing at Royal Ascot?
I do. I feel I'm very strong. And I have, in all the categories of the horses that I'm going, I know the races now. I know what it takes to win. I feel, all my horses that I'm bringing are going to be very competitive, weather pending.
Very good. Well, Wesley Ward, thank you so much for your time. What you've done over there is nothing short of remarkable, and even opening up the doors for other American trainers. We wish you all the best at Royal Ascot. We thank you for your time. We thank TaylorMade for their sponsorship. Wesley, go over there and do us here in the U.S. proud, okay?
We'll try. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you, Wesley.